What is going on? Welcome in. Happy Tuesday here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. A lot of good stuff to get into. A lot of football to discuss. A lot of phone calls to take if you want to get involved. 615-737-1045 is the number. We're here with you for 3 hours. Lucas Panzeca making all of the things happen behind the board. It feels like I'm in a new space. I don't know, for those of you who are watching on Zone TV, if you can feel the tangible effect, given that it allows you to basically hang out in studio with us. But my vision is clear. I was blind, but now I can see. I can actually see for the first time since we started this radio show in March. I can physically see Lucas Panzeca, even though he's still through now 3 foot of glass as opposed to 6 foot of glass. This is refreshing.
The more open concept.
J. Martin Ramon took it upon themselves to feng shui the studio. There's a different air. It's like coming into a whole new office. 615-737-1045. So obviously the story of the day in across sports and really, I mean, it's a pretty big news story. Just generally, John Gruden resigning last night as the Raiders head coach. And we're going to spend a good deal of time on that next, because I feel like that's going to be a conversation that people are going to want to get involved in. We're going to be respectful about this today. I feel like I'm going to have to give everybody a pep talk, right? Lucas, myself, you listening in your car, in your home, wherever it is, on the podcast while you're screaming at us and shaking a fist at us 3 hours after the fact, whatever. Like, I'm not going to get into a cancel culture fight today. I'm just not going to do it. It's counterproductive. It ignores the issue at hand. And it takes away from what the actual story is. So if you want to scream and shout about cancel culture, I got no time for you, is what I'll tell you straight up. And if we put that out there in front, then we can move on and we can have a fun day today. Because I want to have fun today. Just as much fun as I was having last night during that Monday night football game. Lamar Jackson forever. That was incredible. The Colts and the Ravens squaring off in Baltimore. I mean, and Baltimore getting embarrassed for basically, what, three quarters of that game? Certainly in the first half. And it looked like the Colts and Carson Wentz, they'd found their running game. They were able to operate efficiently with play-action passing. They were moving the ball down the field, and the defense was causing Lamar and the Ravens nightmares. Now, the Ravens pretty banged up right now, and you could say that for a lot of teams across the NFL. But it really looked like the AFC South. And listen, it still is pretty open, even as the Titans have a pretty commanding lead over the rest of the teams, because the rest of the – we talked about this yesterday. In fact, damn near, I think it's the same way we opened the show yesterday. The division sucks, but you can be king of the trash pile and make the playoffs, which is what the objective should be right now. I know that we spent most of the offseason talking about Super Bowl aspirations and blah, 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 but it's, you know, now we're five games in, and you understand that the reality is much different than it was back in August. I think everybody's kind of come to that realization. So how do you adjust your goals? How do you adjust how you're going to go about the season and how you're going to consume it through the rest of the year? The prism that you're going to look at your favorite team through, which in the case of many of you, is the Tennessee Titans. But for the Colts and the Ravens last night, and listen, I think that the Colts still have the ability to keep this thing going, because their schedule, certainly over the next four, is not nearly as tough as it is for the Titans, even though over the course of those four games, the Titans and the Colts will meet for the final time this season on Halloween in Indianapolis. But Lamar Jackson, it was a tough crowd, or a tough scene, rather, for the Lamar Jackson as a running back crowd. This man, Peter Schrager, tweeted this stat out for total yards in the 2021 season. Now, you can go through the list, but there's four teams in particular. The Raiders, 13th in total offense, 1,885, or total yards, rather. The Eagles, 14th, 1,863, as far as total yards are concerned. Then sitting between the 14th and the 15th team, collectively, is one individual, Lamar Jackson, who himself has 1,860 yards on the season through five games. He's got more total yards than the 49ers. He's got more total yards than the team he beat last night, the Indianapolis Colts. And I was very conflicted watching this game. Because he did it in the second half, and he did it throwing the ball. I mean, there were some passes that made you kind of clutch your pearls a little bit, where it seemed after Calais Campbell had the field goal blocked, because turns out you put the 6'8 guy on the field goal block team, he's going to get his hands on one every once in a while because he's like 7'4 when he raises his arms up. And it looked almost on that first pass of the Ravens offensive series immediately following the field goal block that Lamar was going to give it right back to the Colts. He had a moment or two of those, maybe a pass behind here or there, but what they kept talking about all throughout the course of the evening on the broadcast was how much emphasis the Ravens coaching staff, the Ravens quarterback coach, and Lamar have taken or have looked at improving his accuracy as a pocket passer. And you saw it last night pay monster dividends because he did it and he beat them through the air. And he took advantage of a Colts secondary that was absolutely ravaged. There's no question about that. They weren't that great to begin with. The strength of the Colts defense, as Titans fans well know, it's in the front seven. But to watch Lamar last night, I mean, it's like crack. It's
37 of 43.
He killed it. He was, but it wasn't efficient in the first half, right? They were really, really bothering him in the pocket. He was having to make more plays than I think he would like to. With his legs, he was having trouble. He wasn't getting help anywhere else across the offense, so he was having to do a lot of it on his own, and he was struggling for a minute. And then he started to break a 15-yard run here or a 20-yard run here. He converted a couple of third downs. He got comfortable. The offensive line started playing much better in front of him because they saw Ben Cleveland, the rookie out of Georgia. He went down last night. They're already without Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. And despite all that, you saw Lamar do the thing, honestly, that I wish I would see more Tannehill do more of. Lamar's getting rid of the ball. Lamar's throwing it away if he's feeling it. Now, Lamar has a different ability than Tannehill does, and no sack is the same across any quarterback and really across any season. But there are moments when you see Tannehill holding onto the ball longer than you would like, and it's something that you love about him if he's getting drilled and he completes the pass. But if he takes the sack, now the quarterback's the bad guy. What I saw from Lamar was that awareness last night when he couldn't take off with it, when he wasn't going to be able to find his man, and very rarely did he not in the second half find ways to get his receivers, his playmakers. Mark Andrews, I had him in fantasy last night. Let's go.
But Popped off.
I played Lamar, so it was a very stressful situation in the Titans Media League. I did not enjoy that very much. But ultimately, What this tells us again, and we'll have a larger conversation about the AFC in general today, the Bills, the Chargers, what's happening with the Chiefs right now, what you saw from the Ravens and the Colts, and of course, what the Titans' place in all of this is. Because outside of two of those teams, I think this conference is very, very much still open. And for a team that is not in a great division, but is perpetually a second half of the year team, where Mike Vrabel is telling you, I think this was like his first year as the Titans head coach, he's like, yeah, the games really start to matter in November. And that's basically when we see the Titans kind of do Derrick Henry things. That's why this year is so shocking, because he's doing it in the first half of the season. And you imagine that it's only going to improve as people get less and less willing to hit Derrick Henry.
Should we put something to a poll? Is the AFC South the new NFC East?
Ew, really? Wow, that's a big accusation.
It is, but it's really bad right now.
But see, the difference with the NFC East, you know what? Why don't we talk about this coming up next? Because this is I love this question. Put it to a poll. See how people or how pissed people get at me for your actions, which I know you enjoy.
it's literally what this show is.
This is coming from my social media account, not yours, so I'm the one who deals with the blowback when I get my face melted off during the commercial when I check my mentions. So go ahead. Try it. See what people say. Is the AFC South the new NFC East? How does that make you feel? 615-737-1045. Lebowski says, yes, Lucas, yes! It's that Star Wars meme where the dude is just screaming, more! Which, ironically, I used a couple times last night because Lamar, more of that. more exciting football. The primetime games this year have been spectacular. But we'll talk about the strength of the AFC South and how it may match up to what, you know, the division in all of sports that I want to defund the most, the NFC East, the one that I hate watch the most, coming up next. And we'll also talk about John Gruden, because that's the biggest story in sports today. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. Lucas Panzeca making it all happen. Don't forget, we got winners and losers of the football weekend coming up next. There are plenty of winners and losers to assign, and always one smart ass in my mentions who says, well, every team that lost this weekend lost the football weekend. Blah, blah, blah. Those are my favorites. So let's talk about something that's also going to evolve into, I'm sure, a nuanced conversation. John Gruden, shall we? Biggest story in sports this week. It will probably be, end up being the biggest story of the NFL season because of who John Gruden is, what he means to the sport. He's been an institution across the decades, whether it's on television or coaching for the Buccaneers, the Raiders, and being, you know, the bullet, apparently, the University of Tennessee dodged, huh? Feel pretty good about that? Lucas, were you one of those people that wanted Gruden on Rocky Top?
I think people wanted it just for the entertainment value of it.
I got to go. So speaking of, you know, because I'm sure I'm going to get shouted about cancel culture today. Are you somebody who, if I'd go back through your tweets, I'd find a John Gruden to Rocky Top tweet?
Well, the groomers were just so much fun. Like, that was just a roller coaster ride you wanted to be a part of. Like, I was on the radio in Knoxville during that whole period, at least the second one. There was groomers part one and groomers part two. Part one before they hired Butch, part two before they hired Pruitt.
What a time to be alive.
It was just a fun wave to ride. You never really deep down thought it was going to happen, but it was always fun to hear the just ridiculous message board fodder about it.
So the wave to ride has come crashing down, and John Gruden has submitted his resignation.
Definitely dodged a bullet.
Yeah, there's that. So it starts, what, 4 days ago with the Wall Street Journal starting this reporting on the Raiders coach, formerly the Raiders coach, John Gruden, making a racist comment about the NFL players' union chief, which is Demoris Smith. Demoris Smith, who has been, you know, if you've ever followed along any of the lockouts, any of the CBA renegotiations, Demoris Smith is always a central feature. Maybe you don't pay attention to him a great deal, but he's been a fixture in the league for a long, long time. And so in 2011, the emails surfaced, or rather, emails surfaced from 2011 where John Gruden is using racist terminology to describe Demoris Smith in emails that he's sending out while he's an employee with ESPN. Now, a lot of this stuff, and this is the frustrating part about FC, I struggled with this on primetime last night too, because I'm not going to say the stuff that John Gruden said. You know what I'm saying? And if you want, I'm a New York Times subscriber, so if you want my login, hit me up. I'm happy to send it to you. You can read the reporting for yourself, okay? That will be my good deed for the day.
Careful with that.
What?
I don't know. Do you use the same password for multiple things?
Well, there's little variations.
Take it easy with that.
All right, very good. It's an important warning. As Facebook goes down for a day because there's whistleblowers and somebody's on the inside, like that.
And your identity's stolen the next day. Ugh. Slippery slope.
Okay, very good. Thank you for being a good executive producer. We appreciate that. Brandon Rushing says, oh, you don't need the login to read it. Oh, okay.
No, you don't. Yeah, I do not have a subscription. I read it last night.
I see. So this, they feel important. They want the clicks. Good for the New York Times. I respect that. But now people are asking me to coast. Copy and paste the article, Buck. Don't give users your credentials. And Lebowski screams, post the logins, Buck. We will handle it
with maturity.
With maturity. Yes, indeed. So read it for yourself is what I will say to you. And you can see what kind of terms that John Gruden is saying. Now, this one in particular, the one that started the New York Times to digging more, as first reported by the Wall Street Journal, this one well, let me ask Lucas before I do this and get us both in trouble. Am I clear to read what he said about Demoris Smith? Do you think that is fair game?
I'm trying to remember which comment that was.
I'm going to screenshot it and text it to you right now so that we can protect ourselves. But just know that the language that he's using and the terms that he is using are super racially charged. And that, even as it's 10 years ago, and personally, I feel like you should be held accountable for your actions, but I am also somebody who sees John Gruden's apology last night, who can be disgusted by the behavior on the front end, and also say, well, 10 years later, I hope that John Gruden has evolved as many people have evolved, and that if he is genuine in his remorse, that John Gruden find a way to get back into the public sphere. However that looks, I'm not saying that I'm not canceling anybody. And by the way, John Gruden wasn't canceled because he was allowed to coach on Sunday. In fact, the NFL turned more emails over to the NFLPA after Mark Davis drug his feet on this. So let's not make any mistake about what happened to John Gruden here. John Gruden resigned because he was held accountable for his actions, and his ownership group was pushed by the governing body of the sport. The NFL is who got the other emails about misogyny and anti-gay terminology and all of the things that he's saying about Roger Goodell, probably because they went sniffing through his email and said, oh, this is what old Chucky's saying about Goodell. Here you go, D. Smith. Have at it. That's why the ball got rolling faster than it did 3 days after or 4 days after the Wall Street Journal's initial reporting. So all of this to say that John Gruden was not canceled here. If you want to have a conversation about this, look through the timeline, look through what was said, understand that it is not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. And if you are somebody who believes that, who believes that those words are things that you should be able to use, I would say, you know what? Go for it. But be aware that you too will have repercussions for your actions.
Yeah, send an email like that to your colleague.
Go ahead.
Talk about your boss the way he talked about Roger Goodell.
And what I'm saying, yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So what this comes down to for me is it is a delicate situation. It is one that John Gruden, frankly, should and has been held accountable for. But also, who was John Gruden sending those emails to? Because you know that's not caught up in a vacuum. How much further does this thing go? Here's my problem with this kind of stuff. Because once you find a scapegoat, once the NFL has its sacrificial lamb for optics, then all of it dies down. Because, okay, we killed somebody for the sake of the story. Now let the story die with this person. And it's not exclusively on John Gruden here. Because Bruce Sherman, who's also caught up in this, a longtime executive for the Washington football team, he was on the receiving end of a lot of this stuff. How much further do the tentacles on this thing go? Is the NFL willing to peel back the layers further? Because it keeps the attention on the NFL for a story that is in poor taste and bad business. Because you know what I saw after they announced on Monday Night Football, after Adam Schefter came on during the halftime report and laid out the details of this, their former ESPN colleague? You know what I saw directly after that? A commercial for the NFL that's been running all season long, but one that they made sure that they had in that rotation after this story came out. Football is family. Football is love. Football is gay. Football is black. Football is trans. All of these things. Something that's been running all year long. Football is accepting because they're trying to get the spotlight off the NFL and onto the guy who they just killed for the sake of the mob. And John Gruden, listen, it was going to happen to Gruden this way. It has to happen to Gruden this way. The reporting, as you'll find it, is inexcusable on the Raiders head coach, the former head coach of the Raiders at this point. And honestly, good for the NFL for forcing the hand of ownership by further turning over those emails, because it starts to spiral. And Lucas, am I allowed to read that?
I mean, it's FCC safe, but
do you think that we are going to? Do you think that I guess what are your concerns for us reading that particular phrase? Because the words that Gruden uses in later email, I know that I can't say those on air, and I know that I would not say those.
That's easy. Yeah.
But I don't want to parse this and get it wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have already seen. It's just very, very racially charged. You know, I'm not going to say it. I would leave it up to your discretion.
Oh, so
I'm gonna
you chicken bleep. I won't do it, but you can, bud. Go get him. All right, go read the reporting. Just so we're playing it even across the board. Because if I'm not going to read one word and I want to read another, I think that makes it a little more complicated than need be. So those come out from 2011. Then what makes John Gruden step down is last night the New York Times does further reporting. Ken Belson and Catherine Roseman really dig into this. And he is forced to step down because the New York Times detailed emails in which he made homophobic and misogynistic remarks following the earlier report of racist statements about Demoris Smith. This is something that we have almost never seen. This is something that, and now you're seeing statements from the ownership. Now you're seeing statements from the league. Now you're seeing statements from people across the board that are just trying to make sure their bases are covered up so they can move on for this. But this is the statement that John Gruden makes after the fact. I have resigned. This came at 9 o'clock last night, 9 East, or 9 Central. I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone. And I'm not here to parse John Gruden's apology. You can be cynical, you can be sarcastic about that, or you can take the fact that he resigned, he did the right thing in resigning, and he put out the statement saying, and ending with, I'm sorry, I never meant to hurt anyone. Now, the fact of the matter is he did, and now the consequences of those actions have come. And make no mistake, like, I'm not sitting here preaching from on high about things that I've never said, or I've never done, or all of those things, and getting tweets about, well, what if it happened to you? Would you be singing the same tune? Yeah, if this stuff happened to me, I would hope that I would have as much grace to do this in the exact same way, and maybe not let it take 4 days. Because I'm not saying that I'm completely innocent, nor are almost everybody out there innocent of saying things or doing things. Or frankly, in the social media age, I mean, hell, Facebook. I think I got on Facebook for the first time as an eighth grader. You know how much cringeworthy stuff is probably out there from some idiot eighth grader posting on Facebook in a public forum that he doesn't think anybody else, his teachers, his parents, his future employers are going to see? Of course, I fear that every day. But it does make you, moments like this, and really since the Me Too movement, it has made you reevaluate your past behavior and hopefully for many people allowed growth to result. Now, again, I understand why people are irritated by the fact that they went back through this man's emails from 10 years ago and said, yeah, this is the thing that's going to have you resigning a decade later.
It's not just about, you know, it's not like an eighth grader posting something on Facebook, right? It's a grown man having the comfortability to send these things in an email to NFL colleagues. Like, it's not digging up old tweets from when you were 13 years old.
It's a 46-year-old man.
It's a former NFL head coach that's on the Monday Night Football team at ESPN sending these things to NFL officials talking about other NFL officials.
Correct, and that's where the difference lies. This is a grown man being held accountable for his actions. And if his apology is sincere and his future actions bear that out, then I absolutely believe in second chances for everybody. But you cannot be a repeat offender in this way. You have to have that presence of mind and understanding to be like, yeah, this is wrong. I can't do this. I couldn't do it then. I sure as hell can't do it now. And it's not cancel culture. It's accountability. I'm not denying the existence of cancel culture. But I think it's a phrase that gets tossed around very lazily and more often than it should by people who aren't willing to have a discussion about what actually happened here. there are going to be people who weaponize this particular situation, as so many things across sports, society, pop culture, all of it gets weaponized right now. I'm not interested in having that discussion. I'm not here to fight with people about that. I understand that people have been unnecessarily taken out because the mob requires a sacrifice and social media has made us all, frankly, dumber and meaner. I made jokes after Thursday Night Football, right, about how many people were waiting to bury Geno Smith after he threw the interception. How many different tweets streamed in, oh, same old Geno, same Geno Smith. And it's a microscopic look at something that is clearly a part of our day-to-day conversation and the way people process these events, that everybody's just sitting there waiting to just step on somebody's neck because it's the easy and popular thing to do. Social media has warped that in a way that frightens me, that has clearly come for John Gruden, and for everybody to understand that this is the way of the world, and frankly, adapt or die. Because I have no patience for people fighting with me on the primetime show last night, being like, well, we'll take John Gruden. The Titans could use a new offensive coordinator. Legit, honest to God comments that I was getting last night. And I had to and the primetime show is different, right? Because at least on radio, I have a commercial break to, pause, take a second, breathe, rather than just having mother bleeped right to my face on a live stream show for an hour or an hour and a half, whatever. Sunday to Thursday night, A to Z Sports primetime. If you want to ever mother bleep me to my face, it's a good time. But I'm getting that kind of stuff and saying, oh, cancel culture came for another person. Oh, they got it. They got this guy now. Oh, we'll take John Gruden. You do not speak for we. You may think that way. And if you do, I pity you. I feel bad for people like that. Because they're just so far gone that they can't be helped and that's where you see the evolution stop. And I hate for that to be the case with people. I think that everybody deserves the opportunity to have their thought process broaden, to have their minds broaden or open. They're just the way that they think about things, taking different accounts into it, just taking different ways of thinking into account, and then formulating your thought rather than saying, all right, I'm on this side of the issue because I believe in X, Y, and Z, and I'm against this person because they believe in X, Y, and Z. No, you can't do it blanket statement that way. John Gruden is going to be weaponized today by people who don't want to have a conversation about it. They just want to yell, shout, and scream at the other side, and it's going to be done on both sides today. And that's what frustrates me the most about this story. Outside of what it is and who John Gruden is and the TMZ elements of it. Because the headline is flashy, the headline is sexy, the headline is something you want to sink your teeth into, and you want to fight, embrace debate. That doesn't advance the conversation. That doesn't draw attention back to John Gruden or his statements and what the next steps need to be. How do you advance the conversation and not just dwell on the thing that happened and how you can fight with somebody else about it? 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the show today. 615-737-1045. I'm happy to have conversation with people about this as long as they can be respectful doing it, because I'm going to be respectful about it because I want this to be an open dialogue. And so often with these kind of conversations, whether it's vaccines in the NFL or Colin Kaepernick and kneeling during the anthem, I think you can have conversations about sports and its connection to societal issues, because that's exactly what this is the next iteration of. So we'll come back, we'll talk about it. If you have strong beliefs on a subject or on this matter, one way or the other, we'll get through it together. I'm happy to do that. 615-737-1045. And then we'll also laugh, because winners and losers of the football weekend, something we got to do. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. It's a weird choice to come back to. What are you trying to do back there?
What?
If you like Lucas's music, you can check it out. There's a playlist on Spotify.
I just threw this one in. I'm not going
to
lie.
The Buck Rising Show. What, are you too busy to think your action's through?
Sometimes I mail it in.
After I just sermonized for 20 minutes, sometimes I mail it in.
I see Jay-Z instrumental. I said, yeah, that works.
You're the worst. We'll do winners and losers of the football weekend here in just a second. But I want to take Eric in Nashville's call because he's going to bring up something that's important. And I want to advance the conversation just briefly about John Gruden, his resignation with the Raiders, and why some people are looking at this and saying, well, what? There's a double standard in the NFL. And I understand why there would be pushback on that thought, but I do have a rational explanation for what I think Eric is about to get into. So let's go to Eric in Nashville. What's up, buddy?
How are y'all doing this morning?
We're great.
So, like, I work in sales, and I get it. You perform at a high level. You get more leniency in doing what you do.
Sure.
You come in, you kind of do what you do. But, you know, and there's no room for racism in the NFL, period. But and Gruden should be fired. But back in 2018, I think, you know, Antonio Brown made a very racist slur toward the owner of the Raiders and was never reprimanded. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
No, for sure, Eric, because you've almost got the story correct. But I remember this, and I looked it up during the commercial break because I knew that somebody was going to bring this to the forefront. So it wasn't Mark Davis, it wasn't the Raiders owner that Antonio Brown, his brief stint with the Raiders, it wasn't the owner that he lobbed a racial slur at. It was the general manager. It was Mike Mayock. So this was in 2019, and this was at the time when Antonio Brown is freezing his feet off, the bottoms of his feet off in a French cryo chamber, and having the moments where he's recorded or he's publishing recorded phone calls between himself and John Gruden, which turns out could have been much, much worse if they had gone just a little bit deeper. But so all of this starts to devolve. Antonio Brown posts a picture on Instagram of a letter that Mike Mayock sent him telling him he was fined for missing a walkthrough with the team. That led to Mayock storming the field at Raiders practice, getting into a shouting match with Antonio Brown. Now, at that point, ESPN's Josina Anderson reported that Brown used a racial slur during the heated argument, which further escalated the altercation. A day later, Antonio Brown doesn't show up to practice. He denies that report later. And largely, the NFL moves on because the Raiders-Antonio Brown saga continued to devolve in ways that kind of kept refreshing the news cycle. So, to that degree, you would look at that and say, on its surface, that appears to be a double standard in the NFL. But let me tell you where the difference lies. One, Antonio Brown denied it, and nobody else refuted his denial. There was no pushback from any other party, Josina Anderson included, about what was said between Mike Mayock and Antonio Brown. At that point, it became speculative. What John Gruden did is in print. What John Gruden did is in documented emails. It is not just a he said, she said conversation. It is time-stamped, his words, his email account, his contacts. It is all being documented in physical emails, or I guess digital emails, but you can print out the physical copies. You understand what I'm saying about that. The double standard, I understand that people want to have that kind of a conversation, and I'm not trying to turn it into, well, black people are allowed to say this and white people aren't allowed to say that. You know, there's a lot of that, and to both parties, tough. Like, that's how it goes at this point. You don't get to nitpick. Them's the breaks. You know what I'm saying? For the difference in this particular comparison, and I appreciate the caller for bringing it up, the difference is you have the papers. You have the receipts of John Gruden. And Antonio Brown just turned into a he said, she said situation, and then immediately was lost in the news cycle because then Antonio Brown puts out a video of him finding out that he's released from the Raiders. He's doing sprints around his backyard. It's just a total bleep show at that point. 615-737-1045. Matt is in Nashville and wants to weigh in. What's up, Matt? Matt, you're on the air, buddy.
Oh, hey, sorry, man. Yeah, so I was raised by a lesbian woman. My parents divorced when I was really young, so I don't know. I was raised in a household where my mom wasn't accepted, you know, going to parent-teacher conferences with my mom and her partner in the early 90s. You know, this was before the whole thing blew up. And
sure.
So I can understand that John Gruden probably wasn't raised the way I was, but my mom always raised me that you give people second chances just because they don't know. But if he's not willing to, it's his own personal problem. But my biggest point was, what about the people who are getting these emails 10 years ago, 7 years ago? Why were they not speaking up, being like, hey, man, like, this isn't cool. Like, it's not all John Gruden, too. Like, there's other people who could have said something, you know, like. And that's my biggest point, and I appreciate it, Bob.
No, for sure, Matt. I mean, I don't know if you – and you may have missed the – not everybody listens to all 3 hours of the show, but you may have missed that in the last segment, because that was basically my thesis statement, too. This doesn't stop with John Gruden. John Gruden's just the face that it's all being pinned on, and now the NFL will hope that it goes away with the resignation of John Gruden. It's incredibly fake. It's incredibly disingenuous. It's not about the – my biggest issue with the NFL – as somebody who covers this league and one of the teams in the league, is that they are more concerned with the optics than the issues. Roger Goodell does not come out and publicly apologize for what basically turned into the NFL blackballing Colin Kaepernick until the face of the league catches them off guard. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Honey Badger, Zeke Elliott, Deshaun Watson, I believe, was a part of that video. But again, you can't, you're doing this thing. You can't parse it at levels. But remember, they come out with that statement during the Black Lives Matter movement saying, no, we demand an apology from the NFL. We demand accountability from the NFL. It's only at that point that Roger Goodell, after all of the things that devolved over the Colin Kaepernick situation, comes out with a public apology. We, the NFL, apologize for the way that we handled situations past. What I'll say to you is this. I, too, I'm a supporter of second chances. I, too, hope that John Gruden's public apology, his statement where he says, I'm sorry, I never meant to hurt anybody. I hope that it's genuine for John Gruden's sake. And if that ends up bearing itself out, then, of course, people should be afforded the opportunity for second chances. You are not what one interaction says or people want to paint you as. But the NFL cannot let this thing die just because John Gruden took the fall. The NFL has to continue to investigate Bruce Allen, the former Washington football team executive, who a lot of these emails are going to. How many other people were on the receiving end of these emails, and how much more widespread this issue goes. That's what I believe about this situation and why John Gruden has now been the person who took the fall for this. The NFL cannot be let off the hook. And that's what they'll want to do now that it has cost somebody's job. Now that there has been a blood sacrifice for the mob. It cannot be allowed to exist that way. It cannot be solely about the optics. It has to be about addressing the issue.
But here's the thing. John Gruden kind of got his second chance, right? Because one singular comment comes out about DeMaurice Smith. He has to apologize for it. Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy are talking about it on Sunday Night Football. Mike Tirico is vouching for John Gruden because he worked with him all those years on Monday Night Football. And it's behind him, right? He kind of gets that second chance to stay on as the coach of the Raiders, but it's not the singular incidents. It's more and more and more emails coming out from 10 years ago. And if you're putting these things in print to NFL colleagues and officials, how comfortable are you with saying these things in regular day-to-day conversation? So to me, even though this stuff all happened a decade ago, he kind of got that second chance.
No, the original instance that they discovered happened a decade ago. It continued for
right.
7 years. 7 years. That's why I'm saying it's about accountability in this particular regard. We'll continue this conversation. I want to get into some college football because our buddy Michael Felder of Stadium is going to join us. We'll do TN High School Football Heroes of the Week. We've got a really good show prepared for you today that is focused around sports itself. But, of course, this is the biggest story in sports. So we'll continue to take your reaction. We'll talk about college football. We'll talk about last night's effects on the AFC as a whole and what it means for the Titans in the AFC South. That's on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.